Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Chirag Nijjar, a leading expert in simplifying complex marketing concepts into practical advice. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, Tara. I'm absolutely excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I think the topic today is going to be a great one. But before we get into that, I like to give my guests an opportunity to share with our audience their leadership story, whatever part you want to share. So go ahead.
Yes, yes. Ironically, my leadership story, I think, begins at a point of having almost no power, or in fact, being and feeling incredibly powerless. So I always tell people the big important thing about me is I grew up in a small business family, quite frankly, at the stores themselves, right? My parents used to have my crib at the store, my first toy.
Oh, wow.
My parents waited 31 days. They said, immune system, good to go. Let's go, right? But grew up at the store, right? My first toy was my dad's old credit card machine. And wow. As beautiful as that entire experience was, I mean, from a young age, you're exposed to sales, to communication, to interacting with individuals, public speaking and all. You also become very aware from a young age how important the rent payment at the end of the day is, right? Or these little moments of how powerless it often felt. And quite frankly, sometimes it, down to even just praying that some customer would walk in through the door. And I just remember that feeling of powerlessness, the helplessness that constantly, regardless, you always had a good day, but you always knew that it's okay. There's no guarantee that tomorrow people will walk in, right? Anytime we tried to research or learn anything, it was often hidden behind paywalls, consultants, MBAs, things that my small business family just simply could not afford or had the time to really look for. I remember going away to college and sort of having this list of business books that I'd always said that one day I would read and I would come back and help my family, started realizing there was so much out there in the academia that I now had access to. And so we started learning as much as I possibly could. I started hosting sessions for local businesses and entrepreneurs, started posting content online. That has turned into its own massive audience of about 60,000 followers across social media
good
and all.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I think, Tara, coming back to your point about the leadership component of it, for me, I think leadership can be massive, right? In the sense of like, the following and all the amazing things we've been able to do since then. But I think the most important moment for me was sharing some of this stuff back with my father. Indian immigrant, right? Never had a chance to go to college, entrepreneur his entire life. And I was explaining things to him like Porter's Five Forces, 4 P's of marketing, these academic business concepts. And I'm like, he's not listening to me. He doesn't like, he doesn't listen to me on a good day, let alone this, right? A few weeks later, he calls back and he goes, I used the thing you told me. And like things made sense. So for me, my leadership story was realizing that there's so much out there that just isn't shared with the people who need them. And so my job now has become sort of sharing that message, right? Can we simplify brand marketing as my niche, which has become my niche, for individuals out there who may not have always had access to these concepts and resources? And we do that through the content, whether that's the audience of 60,000, the talks and workshops that I get to host all around the nation. And lastly, through some fun, interesting things. Like, are you familiar with the History Channel?
Yes,
they have a docuseries called The Mega Brands That Built America. And I've been fortunate enough to actually be featured on there as an expert throughout season two. Thank you.
Excellent. I'll have to look that up.
No, please do. I think it's currently on Prime and Hulu, but check it out. But it's these fun, amazing opportunities where I get to share the message with broader audiences, people who may not always have had the ability to have access to these things. I'm going to pause there. I threw a lot at you, Tara.
That's amazing. And, you know, I think your story will resonate with so many listeners around the world because it really is a story that so many people have. And I think it's really interesting that you were talking about, you know, playing with the credit card machines. Yeah. I think kids love things like that. I mean, we used to have a teacher's chalkboard that was at the side of the school road and my dad picked it up and that was our toy, right? I mean, I think just these interesting, fun things.
All right, here's the thing that frustrates us the most. I have a nephew. He's 1.5 years old. And his parents are first-time parents, and we're all very excited. We love this kid, and obviously, we all try to spoil him by seeing which toy, like whoever got him the best toy that he loves playing with. Tara, this kid would rather play with the wrapping paper and the box that the
Yes.
toy came in than the actual expensive, like light-up toy. It is ridiculous. But
Yeah,
go
it's crazy.
yeah.
So I want to get to our topic
Yeah.
today, which is discussing branding and storytelling
Yeah.
as a leader to build our brand. Why does this topic really, I mean, I know you touched on this a little bit, but why did you go into this? You know, besides your history of your family, but why specifically this type of topic?
Yeah, well, because I found that oftentimes, so over the last 8 years, I've had the opportunity to work with some of the world's largest corporations, right? Global corporate down to mom and pop shops. And what I found for the most part is people know what they're doing, right? Oftentimes, how many times do you walk into a conversation, especially for entrepreneurs and those of you listening, you walk and you know what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, right? But you walk into a conversation, people ask you, hey, what do you do or what are you trying to solve? And often what I kept noticing, these individuals were incredibly intelligent, confident, amazing at being able to execute and get what they need to get done, suddenly stand there shaking a bit, right? Nervously. Just word vomiting, coming out with all these things, not really having the ability to be able to. In fact, I've often found the better you are at what you do, the worse you are at actually explaining it to others, right? Because you tend to either overcomplicate it, oversimplify it, or you're nervous about it. And so to me, that was very interesting. I was like, I'm surrounded by all these amazing individuals who have all these stories to tell. And what I kept noticing is, unfortunately, they don't have the ability to tell that story. And so that sort of stuck with me. The second thing we also then ended up finding is I started doing a ton of one-on-one sessions over the pandemic, right? So a lot of my initial talks were just about, hey, how do you tell your story effectively? How do you take what you've learned, what you are doing, break it down into an easy to digestible setup? And what I started noticing was that throughout these one-on-one sessions, the same things kept popping up over and over again, which was that people didn't really have the ability to break down what people were asking of them. Which is when then I came to what I've dubbed the brand curiosity theory,
Oh,
in
I
that
like
the
this.
I appreciate that the idea here is that if, the essence of marketing is essentially answering people's questions, right? So Tara, the first time you and I meet each other, the questions you ask of me are going to be incredibly simple, right? They are, oh, who are you? What do you do? Where are you
Where do you
from?
live?
Who do you know? What do you, exactly, right? These are simple questions, and same thing happens to brands. What do you sell? What's the material? Why is this product good? Right? These are basic questions. But over time, the more and more you learn about me, the more and more complex your questions will become about me. Hey, Trog, you mentioned you were going to go on that vacation. How did that go? Or Trog, you were mentioning that one boss that was, you were going up for promo. How is that going to go? Same thing with brands. It's okay, cool. I bought this t-shirt, but what does you stand for as a brand, right? Or are there opportunities for me to connect? Or have you considered collaborating with XYZ brand? Now, the more complex these questions become, essentially what that means is the more I'm learning about you and the more loyal I am becoming. Right? Think about it. Your best friends will ask you the complex questions. People who have just met you may not, right? But from there, when I realized that this complexity, this question complexity topic was moving forward, I realized, wait, there's a game to be played here. And that's where we started sort of building out some of the rest of what I now call the brand clarity framework. And where I got into this niche, I'm understanding like, okay, if we can understand that curiosity is what's driving people, and the more complex questions mean loyalty, then my job as a marketer is to guide people to ask those more complex questions. And so we do so by breaking down the user journey into small little steps, ask ourselves, what questions are people asking us in that space? In that one step. And then you have to find ways to shape stories so that you can guide them to that next step. And then that started leading to this sort of three-step process. I'm going to pause there. Any quick questions before I keep going? I feel like I'm tossing a ton here.
No, I just want to mention that I do really
Yeah.
love the idea of the curiosity part because I'm a big fan of why. Why are you selling a product? Why are you doing what you do? And why should someone buy from you? And you mentioned the why. And I think that is a really key piece of the branding when you start to talk
Yeah.
about more complex questions. But really, that's not. That can seem very overwhelming to some people to answer why should someone buy from you or why are you unique or whatever. So I'm kind of curious how you kind of manage those types of questions for people who, deer in the headlight, they didn't think about the why, right? Just curious, before we go into your three-step process, if that's okay, around that question.
Actually, it's ironic when you ask that. I would actually say that's what the three-step process walks you through.
Okay, perfect. I led right into that one.
Thanks. That was actually a very easy layup there for me. No, the so what sorry, apologies, one sec. Just having a bit of a technical issue here. Okay. But based off of what you were asking here, right? For us is so the actual brand clarity, sorry, the brand clarity framework itself, right, is about making that simple for people. Because I realized that, right? At first it was just I was telling people, like, hey, you need to know your stories, you need to be able to tell your stories, you need to be able to tell people why they should buy from you. And I realized most people are like, okay, I get that. And they're like, I don't know how to do that.
Or where to start,
And
right? The
where to
simple
start.
part.
Exactly. How do I turn this to be actionable? And that's where the brand clarity framework comes in. The first step being everything you are doing, Tara. How long have you been doing this podcast, for example?
This podcast is actually about a year and a half old now.
About a
Very
year and a half.
popular, yeah.
Yes, a year and a half old. You've amazing accolades from this, right? You've done so many of these, but everything you are doing will now be reduced into perhaps, if you are lucky, a few sentences in a conversation that I have with a friend of mine who asked me about you, right? Because I won't be able to sit there and tell them everything, a year and a half worth of progress. Everything you do, I'm just going to pick a few handful words. Oh, yeah, Tara was nice. We talked. She's in Canada right now. There's this podcast about blah, 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 right? Now, at that point, you can choose whether I'm going to choose the words or if you are going to be intentional about them. And what we call these are first choosing your brand echoes. So step one, where to start is find out what your brand echoes are going to be. What are the words that you want people to continuously use when others ask them about you, right? And so you want to continuously drill them into your audience so that by the time that happens, all they're doing is just echoing back the words you've already given them,
I love that.
right? I mean, Nike, Just Do It. There's a reason they put that everywhere, right? Nike's also a focus on this idea that athletes, everyone is an athlete, is over. Like, there's a reason that even these large corporations fixate on singular words. Apple with its think differently. You'll notice, I think one of the things that's very fascinating, Apple right now is currently doing an entire push, privacy, that their browser is a big privacy advocate or will help with privacy. And you'll notice that a lot of their ads throughout some of the major cities are literally just the word privacy plastered everywhere. Again, it's like, hey, if you're going to talk about us, we want this to be the word that you're using. But once you've determined your brand echo, right, what are the words that you want people to use? Step two is going into your eight brand resonance stories. So there are eight types of stories that I've identified, including your origin story, right? Where did you come from? That's all about getting people to either relate to you or to trust your credibility. Your culture story, how does your brand operate internally? Like, think of Ben and Jerry's and their really philanthropic angle, and how much that they encourage their employees to take time off and things like that. And then there's about six others. I won't bore you right here, but your collab story, your customer story, and all. And the idea becomes for each one of these story types, sitting down, taking your original echoes, and now writing, say, even just 500 words for each story type that you have. And just making sure that those little words, those echoes are peppered throughout the stories. Now, the reason we do this, you've got eight stories to tell, 500 words each, you now have a document of 4,000 words. And that document is written in your own tone and language. You take that. You give that to the new intern that just joined the team and is like, well, I don't know what we stand for or what words I should be using. You give it to the PR team so they know what to say anywhere else. And you give it to the CMO so he's not hopping into calls promising things that you can't deliver, right? Everyone is using the same language across the board.
I love
And then
that.
this brings us to, like, sort of the last part here. When you said, like, people feel it can feel uncomfortable, right? When people ask you why I should buy from you. Once you know your stories, the beauty is that all you're now doing is borrowing sentences from these stories. So when you ask me, like, Chirag, what do you do? It is very easy for me to grab a sentence from my origin story, be like, hey, I grew up in a small business family, a sentence from my product story. And so I speak about marketing and branding, and I've got this framework, a product from my customer story. And it tends to help business owners who are feeling a bit lost in their marketing message and want a clear strategy, and my future story. And the goal is to help them build out actionable strategies. Four
That's
sentence
excellent.
response ready to go, and I feel confident in my stories. I think the key here is to help people feel clear about their messages, but more importantly, confident about them. Pausing there.
Yes, I think you're right. Like the whole confidence piece about what it is you stand for is really important because then you can put that out there and then people now know what you do and why you do it and who you help. And I think so
Exactly.
that goes with just understanding the basics of, you know, your fundamentals of business is who is the niche, and, you know, it helps even with that clarity. I did want to come back to the keywords because I agree. I think that that is extremely important. When I developed the Amplifying Leadership brand under the Twin Life Coaching and Business Services umbrella, I had to build that somehow. I had to build those two words into so many things. So I created my logo, created the podcast, it's sprinkled everywhere. You know, I have a leadership course, things like that under that Amplifying Leadership so that I can get that brand of ours out there,
Absolutely.
right? So I love that you mentioned that because I think it's extremely important. So people remember who you are, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you have to remember, I mean, everyone has a million things going on every single day, right? We have your
Exactly.
own biases, your own exhaustion, your own life stresses, right? Oftentimes, the best thing you can do for your audience is just make it extremely easy for them, just to go, oh yeah, actually, and I think at this point, my friends, I think some of the best things is sometimes my friends will joke. And make they'll be like, oh yeah, wait. Like anytime I start saying, they'll be like, oh, Chirag, the speaker is about to speak, right? But internally, I'm like, okay, cool. You've got my word. My word is starting to rub off on all of you,
You
right?
know it. Very good.
Exactly.
Let me ask you a question. I want to bring this to the leaders and their teams.
Yes.
So, when it comes to storytelling and our brand, even our personal leadership brand, how can that storytelling help our employees maybe to continue to grow, develop, work more collaboratively, or whichever that you see more, most often?
I think well, that's where the eight resonance type story types come into play, right? And often, for example, one of the ones that we these stories provide clarity. There's often, I think, in corporate America, this push thriving the ambiguity, right? We're looking for individuals who are able to make decisions within. So, but there's a very within sort of the unknown. But there's a stark difference between chaos and ambiguity slash the unknown. All right. Chaos is that there are no guardrails, there's no structure, there is often muddled messages, and ergo, I, as an employee, when making a decision, have a very important pre-decision to be made, right? So, for example, if I'm a designer, or if I'm a designer for a product in a brand, right, and I need to design, figure out which cloth we should be using or which color we should be using, there's often a pre-decision that needs to be made. Do I feel like I know enough about my brand or my company or what I'm working for where I can feel confident making the decision by myself? Or do I need to now go find someone else to check and make sure my decision is okay? The second is often indicative of an environment in which we have not spread clarity, in which people and the employees working do not have a clear leadership message. An example I'll give of this, and apologies, I'm blanking on the name of the brand that did this. This is a few years ago, but there was a shoe running shoe company, and the story goes that apparently the founder went to one of the marathons, Boston, or I believe one of the New York marathons, and he sat there and he goes, "Well, our target audience is these marathon runners," and he counted the shoes. How many people were wearing his company's shoes? Like maybe two or three, right? So he goes back to his team and he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, from now," and he tells him the story. He goes, "I went there, and what is very disappointing is that only two or three people were wearing our shoes. We have one singular goal, right? One KPI, one key performance indicator, one target for the next whole year. I want to see 50 people or like whatever, 100 people wearing our shoes in that marathon the next day, next year." Now, when he set a very clear narrative, a very clear story for his audience, became a lot easier for everyone in that team, in the company, to now make decisions independently, but still in unison. So the idea became the designer goes, okay, should I use this material, which is going to be more comfortable for the marathon runners? Game over. Should marketing goes, should we be going in this region or this region? Which is more likely to target those marathon runners? Right. Legal goes, are we going to have to worry? If we're planning ahead, what are we going to plan ahead for? Okay. What are the most common injuries coming from marathon runners? Let's prepare. Like, you know, like it's now everyone can work independently by themselves, but they can do so while still leading towards this coherent, overarching company vision. And that's what these eight story types tend to do as well. So, for example, one of these is our collab story. right? What are the types of companies we like to work with, or the types of opportunities we've had where we've partnered up with someone and 1 + 1 = 5? When you outline that story, and it's literally, Tara, if it becomes a literal physical document that's just disseminated throughout the company, it becomes a lot easier for everyone in the company to be like, oh, wow, we recently partnered with that company. I actually know a company we could partner with that is similar to that. We could go do more like greater things. I'm going to pause there and see how that's sort of resonating there.
No, I think that that's great, and I do like that, you know, we can certainly be relatable to help our team with whatever it is. And I think sharing stories that people understand and can relate to. So maybe I don't run a marathon, but I sure as heck have heard of them, especially of the Boston Marathon, you know, up here in Canada. I hear about that one. We also have one in Toronto. Like, people know what that is. It's not something that's not relatable. And I think as leaders, if we can do that whole relatability for our team members,
Absolutely.
that's when they start to build more and more for
Absolutely.
our business. And you know what? Increase profit eventually, right? Because I'm
That's
sure
it.
that running shoe sold a lot more, right? After that.
Absolutely. 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 It clarity. Clarity is such key, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And brand, I think what I found is a struggle for leaders sometimes is that they believe that they can bring clarity by over communicating, which I think is dangerous. I think if you are capable of over, you know, there are people who can over communicate, who can show up in your inbox every single day and have a coherent, clear message and be really good at it. You're like, okay, great. But I've often found what happens is in the process of over communicating, we change our message a million times in order to stay fresh. What you've essentially done is just introduce more noise as a leader to your group. So I'd almost say I don't want you over communicating. I just want you to repeatedly communicate the same message, right? The same stories over and over again, to the point where everyone is telling those stories coherently. And once you have this common language of, or this common collection of stories you've created, people can guide themselves using those stories. How often do we use old proverbs or old stories to guide our decisions in life? We can do the same in corporate America as well.
And you're touching on something I did want to touch on, actually, because some people aren't comfortable with telling their own stories. But I love that you're building on, pick a story that is out there, right? Because a lot of leaders, especially new leaders, are going to be uncomfortable doing these things. They're just not sure what that story is. But if they can think outside the box, like the company you were mentioning with the marathon, maybe there's a way they can be a lot more comfortable telling someone else's story. So is telling someone else's story still a good thing, or should we be telling ours, or a mix of both? What are your thoughts?
It depends on where you are in the journey, right? I think you touched on such an amazing good point, right? Starting off, I think I always tell people my favorite sometimes brands to work with is someone who's been doing this for about 2 or 3 years, and then they're coming to me because then they often have some of these stories that they don't even realize are there to tell.
That they have, yeah.
And also one of the, I think I laugh about it all the time is they've also felt the pain, right? Early initial founders or people, when you're starting something new, you're very over optimistic in what you can do, right? So it's glad that you felt the pain a bit because now you're coming and we can have a more realistic conversation. But for a lot of these initial, or when you're starting off earlier, you feel uncomfortable. Yes, sometimes telling other people's stories works as well because it does take the pressure off and you can be a lot more analytical and surprisingly a lot more supportive. It's very easy, right? I think there was a, I forget where the study, I mean, multiple studies over the years have shown us that often when speaking of ourselves, we tend to be more critical of ourselves than others. So, for example, now these eight story types, right? You have your origin story, your culture story, your product story, your societal story, or the first four, right? In your societal story, what you're essentially doing is telling the world and your audience, businesses can exist in a vacuum. Right. If all I'm doing is selling you paper clips, I don't care what the political affiliation of my paper clips might be. Right. I, some people do. I don't care. I don't really care where you've sourced any of your materials. It's paper clips. I'm running and I'm grabbing. I'm looking for the cheapest thing and I'm moving out of there. Brands, however, like actual brands, we expect them to hold certain positions, right? And on societal issues. Now, you as a brand can hold a very specific societal stance on things. Let's think Nike with the Colin Kaepernick ads or their Serena Williams ads. Or if you are a company where you don't have that ability, you don't feel strong or ready yet to share your own story or where your stance, I still think that you should provide that to your employees. Like, hey, this is what we as a brand should stand for. So they know what topics to avoid or where to over-index.
Good point.
Sometimes that could be tell the story. Hey, we find ourselves leaning closer to this is what Nike had done. And we believe we're closer to a Nike than we are maybe to another company. So it is okay initially for these stories to be of other companies that you resonate or other people that you resonate with. if you're building a personal brand. But eventually, I think the goal is you want to be able to tell your own stories, because stories will be told of you. Whether those words, what words are used to tell those stories, that's what I want you deciding, as opposed to letting someone else decide it. There's a very specific reason. Apple, when they first came out with the iPod, there were many other, there were a few other MP3 players on the market. But what made Apple different, right, wasn't necessarily its interface or its user, or like all the details we now think of. It was because instead of saying like, oh, X number of gigabytes or megabytes, which was what most of the competitors were saying, something that most users didn't really understand. So when they were telling their friends about this new MP3 player they had, they were just kind of like, oh yeah, like it holds songs. Like they didn't really know what to say, because they weren't going to say the gigabytes or the megabytes thing, right? They didn't understand it. Their friend didn't understand it. Apple instead went with 1,000 songs in your pocket.
Yes,
Right. And so
I
they
remember
gave
that.
their audience. Hey, remember, there you go, Tara. Now I'm literally giving my audience, right? Because I know my audience is going to speak to their friends and tell their friends about my thing. I know my salespeople are going to talk to their customers about this. And instead of everyone fumbling and going, well, it's 100 megabyte or 100 gigabytes and it's this, it's like, just tell them it's 1,000 songs in their pocket, right? That's all you're doing. With these stories, you're just giving people the words to make it easier for them to talk about you and to understand what you stand for. And being intentional about that, pausing there for you.
Yes,
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, as a way to wrap up, and I mean, we could talk for hours, I'm sure, but is there that key tip that you wanted to share that you either already did share or something that you haven't shared that we could leave our audience with today?
Absolutely. I think the first step is just getting started, right? Is I think what I tend to tell people. And what I would encourage people to do is identify what are those four or five words you really want to be known for. And the initial easy, simple step is to just put it in the most obvious place you can think of to get started. If you are a content creator and you want to be known for, say, good tech reviews and being able to, yeah, you want to be known for good tech reviews, for example, put that in your bio, right? Make that one of your highlight stories. If you are a brand and you want to be known for being adventurous or courageous, well, the words adventurous and courageous should be the first two words that are on your landing page. A good example I often give people, Richard Branson. There's a reason we associate him with adventure. If you ever notice, like, yeah, adventure or travel, right? And if you ever notice, in most of anything that ever has to mention him, those words are peppered throughout in. And in fact, if you go to like the Virgin Atlantic website and you search up Richard Branson's bio, you'll notice that there are a few words, like I believe there's like adventure, for example, that continuously pop up over and over again. It's very intentional, right? It's just find those four or five words and then find unique ways to remind people of them. That is my initial sort of tip that I give everyone right off the bat.
Love that tip and a great way to finish up the conversation today. So let me ask you, if our audience wanted to learn more about these, eight steps or anything about you, how can they find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So for starters, chiragspeaks.com, Chirag. Speak.com. I hope I spelled that right there, right? But Chirag Speaks. And then on social media, please do connect at Chirag Speaks. We're across TikTok, Instagram, and please across LinkedIn as well. Otherwise, the website will be able to guide you to all the resources. And we're available for corporate workshops, keynote talks, and as well as one-on-one consulting with a lot of businesses. But happy to chat with you all soon about that.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you very much for a very intriguing and interesting
Yeah.
conversation today.
I'm glad. Thank you so much for having me, Tara. Appreciate it.
A thank you to our listeners as well. We hope you are able to gain some valuable information or key takeaway today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow on your leadership journey, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.